Boom, what up? Hello, bonjour, and hola, real leaders. This is Kevin Edwards, your host here, and I am so excited you're tuning in to one of our amazing experiences. What you're about to hear is going to be fresh, real, and loaded with inspiration, guaranteed to support your impact journey. So sit back, enjoy the listen, folks, share a review afterward, and always keep it real.
5, 4, 3, 2, and 1. Welcome, everyone, to this episode of the Real Leaders Podcast. I'm your host, Kevin Edwards, and joining us today, folks, we've got the founder and CEO of Wraparound Experts. Please give a warm, warm welcome to Miss Colleen Lorber, an Impact Award winner, might I add. Colleen, thanks for coming on the program today.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for having me.
Of course, of course. So Wraparound Experts, I think just for anyone who, you know, is curious about the company, want to know a little bit more about you first, maybe just give them a quick digest of kind of your experience and how the initial founding of Wraparound came to be.
Yeah, absolutely. So majority of our work happens in schools. And so we work with students and families and the teachers in order to provide them mental health and behavioral supports that they need to achieve. And it's a wide range of items that we work through with them. And I myself am a psychologist. So I am a school psychologist and then also a licensed clinical psych. And so what that means for me is that I have like a dual passion in doing this. I started out as an intern and a psychologist, and now it's been pretty about 20 years that I've been doing it, and I morphed into a business person. So that's not where I began. But one of the things that drove me was, you know, being able to affect change on a much larger level was a goal of mine. And I felt that I could help influence more things through business than being an individual psychologist. And that's where some of our growth and where, you know, the foundation of us, you know, building this company came from.
That's awesome. And certainly, you know, those who want to create a larger impact are listening to this program today. You know, they've got ideas, they want to make a change, they want to let their passion kind of flow into their career. Colleen, like, tell me about the early days, right, of Wraparound. You know, what kind of gave you the courage to start, and what were those early days like?
Yeah, so we are in our third year, so we're pretty young. But, you know, I had been working at a different private company that is has some similarities to ours. And, you know, through world fate and how it works, that didn't work out. And so I was given the opportunity to go get a job as a psychologist or start Wraparound Experts. And I jumped into Wraparound Experts probably with a little bit of naive hopes and dreams. And well, maybe not naive. I'll take that back. Like, you know, maybe just, you know, some big, huge dreams, and didn't know where it was going to go. And so we have grown, we've doubled every single year in terms of our revenue and number of employees. So we started our first year with, there were three of us, and we now have over 50 employees that are out there, and we're in year three. So, you know, that are out there making changes and helping kids and families and schools. And it's amazing to think about.
That is incredible. I mean, to think that you're doubling year after year. I mean, that to not really have this, the entrepreneur experience, then go straight to that is very impressive. I mean, what do you like, what were some of the early challenges maybe of getting off the ground, and maybe what has been some of the secret success to doing this?
Well, any entrepreneurs or CEOs that didn't have a whole bunch of money sitting somewhere in a bucket to start their company will understand when I say money was, you know, and having those dollars to make your dream come true has been biggest challenge for us. Getting people to understand and believe in the mission, but then also getting people to put their money into that mission has been challenging. But also I feel like we've been lucky in that we are very true to what we want to do, and people see that. And business-wise, you know, I learned a lot at the other private company that I was at. And having a little bit of that in my back pocket let me know where I needed to go. You know, who did I need to ask? And you know, using relationships is gigantic for this. And being willing to be vulnerable, which I'm terrible at, but has been the key to finding people to help us grow as quickly as we have.
And lean into that a little bit more, like, you know, vulnerability being an advantage for you, whether it's growing, networking, relationships. Like, what do you mean by that exactly?
I mean, what I really mean is being able to go to people and say, I don't have a dollar. I don't have it. You know, I'm not sitting here with, you know, millions of dollars in my back pocket and building this company and not having to worry about it. I don't have it. And so that was really hard for me. And maybe it's, you know, from growing up or any of that, maybe that's the psychologist in me coming out, that, you know, it's just, it's not something easily that comes easy to me to admit that I need help. And I need help financially to be able to get this going. So, you know, that was one of the things when I say vulnerable, has always been a challenge.
So is this when you were raising capital? Is this friends and family network? Is this investors?
Yeah. So not a lot of friends and family out there in my network to be able to contribute. So it was definitely finding investors immediately. And then also finding, I don't even know how to say it, like a blessing or something. You know, it's one of those, you be vulnerable enough. I talked to a financial guy who talked to another guy who found a guy in states very far away from me who wanted to do angel loaning.
Wow.
Right. To people who he believed in their mission and who he thought were doing good things in the world. And I am very grateful, for that being brought into my life.
I love that. And of course, you know, you earned it, you know, you got to be prepared to have that. You have to have financials to kind of show that investor as well, but obviously he's taking a risk. I mean, tell me a little bit about the capital raise. I mean, what were some of the things maybe you were preparing for before you had that pitch?
Well, and I will say, you know, starting as a psychologist and having played around in the business world, but not actually having had your own business, that might be the most intimidating activity that I have ever had to do, where you really, you know, you lay out your pitch deck and you have to be able to understand the finances in a way that people are going to trust you and understand it enough that they're going to feel confident, contributing their own hard earned money into what your dream is. So that preparation was difficult. And, you know, again, I leaned on people that I know, you know, was willing to be vulnerable, called other business owners and said, I don't have any idea how to do this. Will you go to lunch with me? Will you teach me? And that was hard to do because, you know, a lot of times you go to, you know, business groups, and I don't know who will be willing to admit this, but everybody's got their chests all puffed out, you know, like, oh, you know, this is how we do this. I'm so great. And being able to go to people and say, I actually have no idea, which is funny because it's actually one of our missions at Wraparound. One of the ways that you get into our, you know, we have a supervision structure and people who are leaders of our other employees. And one of the requirements of being able to get into that group is knowing that you don't know everything, being willing to say when you make a mistake, and just asking, being able to ask questions. You know, I tell people all the time, yeah, I have no idea, but I'm willing to ask and I'm willing to put smarter people around me so that, you know, we can help each other. That's how it works.
Yeah, and I love that, and certainly I share those values. You know, of course we went over that before the show, and that's something that I think really separates like our community of CEOs too. Like everyone's just able to admit, I don't know everything. I'm here to learn. I'm here to grow. You know, and be vulnerable in a confidential setting. So, it goes through boundaries. You know, and I think that that's so wise, and a lot of people too, Colleen, like, they don't think there's shortcuts in life, and there really there are. They're called mentors. I mean, there's people that have experience, that have connections that can really help you, and having the vulnerability to go to those people for help is super sage advice. So appreciate you sharing that journey here today with the audience. Question for you now, though, I want to talk about the enlarged problem that the organization is cutting out to solve, like. The staffing with psychologists, obviously, to have that, it means, is there a mental health issue in America? Is it in our schools? What is causing it? I want to know like what your experience has been with this enlarged problem.
Yeah, absolutely. So we have psychologists, speech therapists, special education teachers, counselors, behavior specialists. You know, we have all of these different positions, and it's because we are seeing a rise in mental health issues and also behavioral issues. And it would take a very long time and way longer than the podcast for me to explain how we have all gotten to this point. But we are noticing much more aggressive behaviors in kids at younger ages. We're noticing educational gaps in kids, and we're also noticing mental health. I want to call it, you know, a lack of strength in mental health. So, in a lack of an ability to recover from failures or disappointments. And so, that is what the trends we are seeing right now, like very large raises, increases, I'm sorry, in anxiety and depression. We're seeing that from the kids. We're seeing that in teachers. We're seeing that in families. And so, you know, COVID contributed to that for sure. But it was also starting before COVID.
Yeah, and we could talk about this all day, couldn't we? Yeah. Right. I mean, there's so many attributing factors. What do you think has been like a helpful solution? Is there training that you have, you know, clinicians go through, or something that has really helped these kids who maybe lack some self-love, some empathy, to help them, you know, become more confident or mentally strong?
Yeah, absolutely. So we talk about it just like, so I was an athlete my whole life, you know, and so we talk about it really like mental health is like a sport or any hobby. And if you're going to get good at it, you have to practice it, and you have to practice it every single day. And so when we do trainings, we talk about realistic ways that you can increase your mental health or the positivity of your mental health every single day. And it's easy things. This isn't rocket science. It's a lot of self-talk. It's a lot of positivity, giving yourself your own high fives. We talk about building mental health bubble wrap around you. So, you know, if you work on your mental health when you're not having bad days, when you do have bad days, that bubble wrap can protect you a little bit from, you know, totally crashing if you have a bad day. So lots of strategies like that. We believe in the basics. We don't believe in these lots of fancy things out there. We just believe in taking it back to the basics, and that's where we're really going to be able to help each other.
I like that. And I think, you know, that's like a common scapegoat for a lot of thought leaders today. Is like they want to provide a silver bullet. You know, they want to, you know, say, hey, you know, this can be solved if you just take this pill, if you just do this one time. But really, in the grand scheme of things, it's hard work. You got to put in the work. It's the days. It's that not easy path that you need to take to overcome things. And also a metaphor for the business too, that you're running as well. I'm curious to learn, like, you know, what has been like a validation point for your business when you think about, hey, the work that we're doing is actually working? Yeah. Like, is there a validation or a KPI you look to?
Yeah, 100%. So because we do a lot of staffing, one of the best validation points is when we get internal referrals for new people. So our own people are telling people, oh my gosh, you have to come work here. You have to do it. And we're getting it you know, instead of just the normal recruiting methods, we are getting people that are finding us. They're coming straight to our website and they're applying. And for us, that's a huge deal. And another thing is when we hear from the principals, we just recently got some really amazing feedback from one of the principals about the impact that we're having on their whole system. So not just on the kids, but also we're making the teachers and the administrators feel like things are actually moving along and that the process for them, for the kids with, you know, mental health and behavioral issues is much smoother. So those are big validation points for us.
And Colleen, to double like in growth each year, it takes a type of leader to do that. Like, what do you think you're doing right about scalability, whether it's standard operating procedures or delegation that has helped enable this type of growth?
Yeah, I think being open to learning at all times is huge, and being open to ideas and respecting my team's ideas and going with it. You know, and we do all the research, but if one of us has a really great idea, we all band together and we're like, okay, how can we get this done? I think that that's been a big deal. And hearing the hard feedback, like, hey, your onboarding experience isn't as great as it could be. You need to improve it. And instead of going, oh no, it's perfect, we worked really hard on that, going, okay, yeah, you're right, we got to fix it, and then fixing it. So it's just forever evolving, I think, has really helped us grow as quickly as we have. And then also just setting goals that are realistic, but also based on data. So I'm a data dork too. I don't know if I'm allowed to say that, but like, you know, that's one of the things too. You look at the market, you pay attention, you actually listen. If I could give anybody advice, actually listen to what people want. I think too often we tell people what they need instead of listening to what they want. And that's how we've been growing.
That's yeah, again, like great advice for anyone that's out there. Of course, listening, you know, being an active listener is something that we can continually practice on. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm also curious, like in terms of the management side of things, have you found a specific process when you said, hey, I'm a data dork? Like, are there specific KPIs or rocks that you, like your team, like focuses on or drills down on? And would you be willing to share those?
Yeah. So we, you know, ours are kind of simple in the way we do it. It's number of clients right now, and those are schools for us. It's number of schools and also number of employees, because that just means that our reach is getting larger. And then honestly, it's a number of diversifying the services that we're able to offer. So different kinds of service, those are all the things that we work on globally, like those are the big things that we're shooting for. Underneath those, I'm a go to the end and work backwards kind of person. So if I know, you know, we want to have 5 different service delivery models by whatever year, then I work with our team to back it all up. How are we going to get there? But we're very realistic. We will look at each other and go, that's crazy. Mm-hmm. Let's fix that. That's never going to work. But, you know, so.
And when have you ever been kind of faced with the challenge of, you know, just risk and how it's going to impact the employees? Have you been too bullish on a decision sometimes when it's come at the cost of, you know, either payroll or something else? Is there an instance or a moment in time that comes to mind that you'd be willing to share?
My answer to that is there has to be. Yeah, there has to be a moment that I've taken those big risks. But honestly, right now, it's working out. And I don't know if that's because we do a lot of research ahead of time, or we really believe that as a team, we can accomplish most things, that it hasn't, the bottom hasn't fallen out of any of those risks as of yet. Now, I'm not naive enough to think that that won't happen at some point, but you know, it hasn't yet.
And as a CEO, like, you know, obviously it's a unique position. Where do you kind of go for like an outlet? Are you able to kind of, you know, speak with other CEOs? Mm-hmm. Do you go to a group? Like, what's been an outlet for you?
I'm a similar group. I belong to Entrepreneurs Organization, EO. And so we have similar structure with forums that we go to once a month. And so that has been a fantastic outlet. And I think it's something that Real Leaders is doing well as well, is you get CEOs together where it's a no judgment and a vulnerability zone where you're allowed to say the things that you're most scared about and have other CEOs who can understand or have been there and give you real life advice, not advice, more like, you know, sharing experiences so that you can take that perspective and learn from it and see how it can help you grow. That has been invaluable to me.
And just out of curiosity, like with your psychology background, like, is there any like mental, like doing the mental trainings daily or something that has been working for you personally in your experience that helps you stay sharp and positive?
Yeah. This is super dorky, but I always say to people that, you know, I always give myself high fives. You know, I'm not, and I will do it out loud sometimes even, you know, it's that
nice.
not everybody's going to pat you on the back in the way that you, it works for you. It's one thing that you have to learn is, in what way do you need praised? Because we all need it. We all want recognition. It's one of our basic needs in our, you know, triangle of needs. So one of the things that I need to do for myself is to give myself high fives, because that helps me continue to believe in that I can do it. So you know what? You did it, Colleen. Great job. Keep moving. What's next? Like, is something that I will say out loud to myself. Dorky, but yes.
Colleen, you mentioned a few times subtly that, you know, you'll think about maybe a 7-5-3-1-year plan. And yeah, then you kind of work backwards from there. What's like the ultimate vision for Workaround?
Yeah. So I think what we want to accomplish is to be the largest provider of our services in at least our geographic area. And also to be able to have enough resource that is real and doable for families. But if we could really service, you know, kids, you know, birth to 21 is usually the age range that we are in. It is the age range for kids. If we could service all areas of that, you know, all the way from, you know, the Head Starts in the preschools through college age, that would be great. And then being able to do it in our geographic locations would be phenomenal. That's the first very big goal. I'm sure that in a few years, I might change that, make it bigger. But
I like it. We'll think in big. And of course, you know, to achieve something that big, you know, it's going to take a lot of leadership. And you've certainly shared a lot about that today. So maybe we bring this home, you know, in all of this, like, what's your definition of a real leader?
Mm-hmm. It's such a good question. And I think real leaders are the ones who have the knowledge and the willingness to let other people lead. So a real leader can find those qualities in people that maybe they don't even know that they have and help them capitalize on those. And that allows the company and everything to grow much more exponentially than if me as a leader had to do all of that on my own. So I think a real leader is able to inspire other people within their organization.
Well said. For Colleen Lorber, I'm Kevin Edwards, asking you to go out there, inspire other leaders, and always keep it real. Thank you, Colleen.
Thank you.
Hey, Real Leaders, thanks again for listening to this amazing episode. And if you're someone like me who goes all the way to the end just to make sure I can extract as much information, education, and inspiration out of every single interview, might I suggest you check out our magazine. If you go online to realleaders.com today, you're going to get the first 30 days for free, where you're going to be able to access all of our magazines, courses, and live events from some of the top thought leaders around the world. All you have to do is go online to realleaders.com and click the subscribe button in the top right corner to get your free 30-day trial right now. Again, that's real-leaders.com. Thanks again for being a real leader, and always keep it real.